May I speak in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. We've got a couple of months, I guess, before they return. I love seeing them swooping and diving through the gate of New Court, zipping around, getting mud from the cam, ready to rebuild their nests, and then skimming around the paddock, catching the insect prey to feed their growing brood. Just amazing. What an incredible illustration of survival of the fittest, of an evolutionary adaptation of behavior that sees them come 6,000 miles from Africa to here for a long summer and then back to their African home. Remarkable, you might say. Oh, of course. What an incredible gift from God. An incredible opportunity for them to be provided for that long journey. Just incredible. Are you worried about what the future holds? Don't be worried. Look at God's provision for those amazing animals. And of course, you can say having a scientific view and a faith view can come together. They don't need to be mutually exclusive. Is this reflection about the relationship between science and faith? Not really. The words we heard from the passages that were read for us included worry and suffering. How can looking at those birds train us to understand something about that? Are they worried as they're coming back from Africa about whether they'll get here? Well, who can tell? But actually, that worry doesn't stop them from behaving in the way that they're adapted to. If you look at the research, it shows that by no means all the swallows make it back to us. Some are blown off course by storms, others die of starvation en route. That's exactly what Paul's saying in his letter to the Romans. Creation is groaning. Groaning as if in the middle of giving birth. Here's that tension between what we might call the amazingness of creation and yet the nightmare of suffering that we see. I see that as a vet. Regularly I see amazing animals, but then sadly suffering in ways that I can't cure and sadly dying. Creation groaning. So what are we left with? Is there an answer? Do you remember the last couple of verses of the letter the excerpt from the letter to the Romans that we heard from Paul? There's one word there that keeps coming: hope. But you say, how can we have hope if we've got people now in this country enduring economic hardship, a world with an impending climate catastrophe, war in Eastern Europe, and then, of course, the nightmare of the earthquakes killing tens of thousands of people. Is there hope? Remember that Paul was talking to a Christian church in Rome where the empire was dead against them. There was an emperor who considered himself as God. His son would be the Son of God. Who on earth were we to be saying there was a different, a real, true Son of God, but a Son of God who was an itinerant Palestinian preacher who was ending up being crucified and then strangely raised from the dead? How would that give that early church hope? Well, there was nothing they could see to give them hope. But Paul would say, hope of something you can see isn't really hope at all. What hope have you got? Maybe hope that actually it'll be nice weather in a couple of weeks' time when your parents come to spend the weekend with you. Is it that sort of hope? Or hope, I hope that I'll get a 2-1, even though I haven't really done enough revision. What about I hope that those swallows will have returned when I come back from my Easter vacation? I'd suggest you actually, that's the sort of hope that Paul is talking about. Not a wishful thinking of something in the future, but actually a confident expectation of what will happen. And if I can have confident expectation in a God who loves me and will care for me right up until a time when I see him in glory, just the same expectation that those swallows will return, that's a real hope for us.